Jane X. McDonald. Good afternoon and welcome. We've read the original submission and we've read the evidence that you pre-circulated. Thank you very much for taking the time to do that.
Thank you.
You don't need to read that out to us because we've read it, but you're very welcome to speak to it, highlight key points, and then we'll see if we have questions for you.
Is it all right if I sit there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. On the 23rd of February this year, there was an amendment to the National Water Policy. I'm not quite certain of all the terms and conditions and such, but the submissions that I put forward were actually dated the July 2016. And on the 23rd of February this year, there was a change, amendments made to the National Water Policy. The committee would be all aware of that, I assume. Is that correct?
Well, there was a new national policy statement released last week. Is that what you're referring to?
I'm referring to the 23rd of February this year.
What was that on?
It was put forward by
the
Ministry for Environment and the Ministry of Primary Industry.
And what was the document called?
Are you having... just give me a minute. It was called the Clean Water Package 2017.
Government's promotional document, yeah.
Okay. The amendments to that basically talked about balance as far as the attitude or culture of the Clean Water Program. And in my submission, I was concerned about the community having ownership as opposed to having to comply. And that was my concern and a lot of my colleagues' concern, was that if we could have a culture of ownership of the whole situation, it would be more positive. Like the traffic cop down the road with his machine that tells me what speed I'm doing, and I'm not quite sure if he's got it right or not. That's what I was concerned about. So I've done some research in that direction. When I started, I wasn't aware of us landowners having any basic umbrella, no ownership of our industry involved with the environment lobby. But I've since researched and found it is actually a joint group effort of Ministry for Primary Industries and Ministry for Environment. So that relaxed my fears somewhat. But I'm sure most of my colleagues aren't aware of this. They're very concerned about what is ahead of them. And if there was more, how would you say, communication as far as through Ministry of Primary Industries and Environment, to let us know that there is people out there that are trying to get it balanced rather than it's going to be a compliance thing. So that's what my submission had been worried about in the first place. And as you've read them, you'll be aware of what they are. And I'm really, it's like farming animals is possibly not the best thing we could be doing. I've actually found out that water is the best thing we could be selling. It's amazing. And Ministry of Environment would let us harvest water, every landowner. There's no regulation against it. So that's my piece. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to ask them.
Thank you for that. We'll see if we do. Lloyd?
No, there's no questions came up that I had, Mr. Chairman.
Edward?
No.
Mark, any questions, Mr.
McDonald? I think in your submission you referred to a community group in the Waikawa. Is there a farmers community group there?
There are a number, there's two I know of, farming discussion groups, Mauritius, and the in my submission I was basing it on a water scheme at Clydevale that was set up in the early 70s, and it's a gravity-fed water system, and it goes from the top of the catchment right down to the where the Pomahaka goes into the Clutha River.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a number of 30 farmers in the early 70s that set that up, and it was very successful. One farmer out of 32, I think, didn't go to it. And yeah, Eric's probably aware of it, it's across the river from his uncle. The community thing, local communities are strong, and it's something perhaps the environment lobby could work on.
Yeah.
And that's all I come to say. There's a lot of people out there very worried, but they don't understand what's actually going on. If they knew that the environment people and the Ministry for Primary Industries was involved in it's basically a joint effort, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I could get that through, I'd be very happy.
Okay, and thinking about specific activities, and you talked about winter grazing.
Yes.
And I asked another person this question as well. I noticed that there's quite a few people are grazing sheep in particular on pasture, and they have them on there for a few days and then they move them on.
Yes.
Can you comment on that as an option for sustainable wintering where it's still economically viable? Well, this is a question.
Yes.
And whether or not you think that's an environmentally sustainable solution as well. From an economic and environmental point of view, is that a sustainable option for sheep?
My system that I explained in the submission document is sustainable, and a lot of us are doing that. In the 80s, we had scientists from Invermay coming and advising us that if it was wet, we were at 500 sheep to the acre per day. In hectares and stuff, it's different, but. Mm. If it was really wet, we had to double up and shift them twice a day, so they were up to 1,000. Well, that was completely wrong, because it just pugged it.
Mm.
And although the regrowth was better overall than just for the whole day, 500 to the acre a day was too much anyway. So now we're down at 300, and we're leaving a lot more behind, and therefore there is no real runoff as what you're worried about. The other thing I worked out, our roading, has that ever been brought up? Our roading network. I've got 8 kilometres of boundary with a dirt road, a gravel road called Buckingham Road, and every now and again it gets washed out on both sides, and it's 16 kilometres both sides. Works out at, if it's 400 by 200, it works out at 12 cubic metres. And that may happen at least once a year. So roading does have an effect on your sediment problems.
Yeah. One last final point, just to clarify, when you talked about this much pasture being left,
yes,
how much is that in kilograms per hectare of dry matter?
Well, allow me to estimate. Mm. I'm not
an expert at that.
But I've been farming for 30 years. About, I would say it'd be down to around 450.
Okay.
Yeah. But that is a guess, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, it's an educated guess, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. McDonald. I have no further questions for you, but thank you very much for coming in.
Many thanks for that.